Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Zander Altman, the CEO and founder of Scope. Good afternoon, Zander. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for joining us today. And you're down. We're in opposite ends of the state, but we're both enjoying some good weather today, unlike my background here, right? Yeah. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work history?
Yeah. So my entire career has been in the technology, particularly like B2B software space. And prior to Scope, I was on the founding team of a company called HiQ Labs. HiQ is a people analytics platform, and we really kind of defined the category and really brought the category to the public of people analytics. While I was there, I ran product for the first 2 years, and then we found some market fit and needed to scale up pretty quickly. And that's where I started to see the initial kind of idea for what Scope was and how we were onboarding our customers and the bottleneck that came from that. And so from there, had for the last like several years, had always been thinking about some of the maybe better ways that customers could be onboarded for software vendors. And so in the summer of 2019, kicked off in earnest with my co-founder, Chris, who I've known almost my entire life. We put some ads up on Craigslist and decided to kick off in the direction of building Scope. And so Scope is a expert marketplace. And what we do is we partner with no-code and API companies like Square and Plaid and Shippo and Argyle to help get their customers live. And we do this with our expert marketplace, plus our implementation management software that helps vendors to track and manage and make sure that the customers are matched with the perfect expert.
Very cool. So who would be your typical customer at Scope?
Yeah, so our target vendor that we like to go after is what we call them. So we really break our categories down into three. We've got customers, vendors, and experts. The vendors are the software companies that we sell directly to. Those vendors then have their customers that need to get onboarded. And so those are our end customers, let's call them. But when we're selling our product and our solution, we're usually selling directly to the software vendor. So again, those are Square, you know, companies like Square, Plaid, Shippo, Argyle. And yeah, so that's who we're selling into.
So you're a B2B, but it's some B2B2C.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So you mentioned you started your company in 2019, and then great idea, and all of a sudden the pandemic hits. That had to have an effect on your company. Can you share that with us?
Yeah. So when we started Scope, there were just two of us. We raised some venture funding in December of 2019. We raised about $1.1 million. And so that was at that point, it was still just my co-founder and I. We built our first MVP with scotch tape and bubblegum, pretty much using Google Sheets and Notion documents and all kinds of crazy no-code apps. Built this really amazing like patchwork of no-code applications. And so it's just the two of us. And when you've got two folks and you're working remote, it's extremely easy. It's really easy to kind of make sure everyone's like up to speed and everyone's like working what they should be working on. But because we had raised some money, because we had started to see a lot of traction with selling into vendors, and we were kind of getting pulled into the market by vendors, needed to very quickly scale up the team. And so right as COVID kicked off, we had hired our first two employees and went into lockdown, like I think it was the second week of March. And from that point on, our business did not slow down at all. If anything, our business picked up. Just by the nature of what we do, and our vendors' customers are usually these like long tail, non-technical businesses. And given that every business needed to get digital almost overnight, our business started to, you know, see the tailwinds of that exact thing happening. So you had companies like Square that needed to get all those brick and mortar merchants online with building Square online stores. And these brick and mortar merchants don't really have the time to be building and designing websites. So what ended up happening was, is our business was able to, you know, help those brick and mortar merchants get online fairly quickly. So we had to scale up our company. We had to scale up our product. We had to scale up across absolutely everything. And so we were our business itself, our core business of this expert marketplace, is remote by design. It allows you to find developers or, you know, no-code subject matter experts all over the world. So our businesses, our core business is based on this idea of remote work, but our actual operational business internally, you know, we prefer to be in the office. We prefer to be, you know, next to each other, you know, jamming on ideas in the hallway, whatever it might be. And so as we started to scale the business, we went from, you know, today we're 14 employees. And up until January, I had only met in person probably three or four of the 14 employees that we had, just because everyone was spread out, COVID was going on. And so that's how our business evolved from the beginning of COVID up until now. And I've had some pretty deep, so I've spent a lot of time thinking very deeply on what is the future of not just our business, but what is the future of, you know, collaboration in person versus remote. And the way I like to think about this is that there are the best of remote world, there's the best of in-person world. And what are the things that we can do to take the best of those and combine them in this new normal that we have? And so we've been doing a lot of things to make that dream a reality, and it's been pretty successful for us so far.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, you know, what you do, remote work, is just tailor made for you, right?
Yep.
I think that's why you've grown your employee base seven times in about a year, right?
Yeah.
And that's pretty fast growth. And do you foresee this, you know, similar, I don't know about it, seven times, but do you have an estimate how many employees you'll have by the end of the year?
You know, don't really have like a hard and fast rule with where we need to be by the end of the year. We're probably good on hiring for a bit. Mm-hmm. A lot of the work that we're focused on now is just kind of generating or putting in place like our demand flywheel. So how do we just acquire more and more and more customers? So that's stuff that doesn't necessarily require adding headcount. Our team today is very product and engineering focused. Mm-hmm. We just hired our first sales hire in January. That's when he started, January 1st, actually. And so, you know, kind of coming back to what the future kind of holds for us, not just on the hiring plan, but also for the future of how the company is going to interact and how we're going to keep kind of growing the business. I think kind of comes back to those two worlds that we live in, you know, in office and remote. And what you find are the really good things about in person or being in office is that it is extremely easy to pick up on the nuances of people's language and their body language and to really sit down and have like a very well-structured, thoughtful conversation using a whiteboard. It's really easy to, you know, scoot over to someone's desk and say, "Hey, I have a quick question for you." If you have a quick question, it's usually a 15-minute Zoom meeting. It's booked. It's a pain in the ass, to be honest.
It takes more time to book it.
So yeah, totally. It's exactly right. That's exactly right. So what we're planning for our business, and I think this is something that you're going to start to see a lot more, is this hybrid approach where we will probably have a preference for having folks in central hubs. So that could be San Francisco, LA, Austin. Miami's becoming popular. I'm not totally sold on Miami yet. But I think there are this idea of almost using the office as a meeting place and less of a show up 5 days a week, heads down work. And that's how we've built our business. And that's how we're going to continue to build our business and scale it. And that's the pitch to employees. That's the pitch to future employees. It's, you know, we use our office as a place to hold meetings. It's a place to hold, you know, ideation sessions. It's a place to hold all hands meetings. It's really almost kind of more thought of as a, almost like a coffee shop where it feels much more communal. And less of a, "Hey, I have to go to the office," or "I got to put FaceTime in." Yeah. Here's my desk. We obviously have desks with monitors for people to sit down if they do want to come in and they do want to do heads down work and get out of the house. You know, we definitely facilitate that, but it's more of an emphasis on creating those kind of ephemeral or real life conversations that and the job, the goal of the office is to kind of induce those interactions.
And are all of your employees down in LA or are they in different parts of the country?
No, so we're based in San Francisco. I'm just down here. I'm just down in LA for the week here. But so we're all, a majority of our team is based in San Francisco. The ones that are not are planning on moving to San Francisco to be with everyone. My guess and the way that I think about this business growing is, you know, having core kind of executive and, you know, let's call it product leads in San Francisco in the Bay Area. I'm very long on San Francisco in the sense that the best, I think, product talent lives in San Francisco, will continue to live there. Just it's kind of in the DNA and the blood of the city, I think, of folks that really understand how to build great products, especially software products in particular. I would say LA is better for maybe like space, space industry is taking off. I would say that maybe if you're in like real estate tech, with the exception of Opendoor, maybe being in New York or things like that, there will be, you know, there will be pockets definitely. But I think having like core team in San Francisco with engineering hubs in different cities, having sales hubs in different cities, is something that will be how we grow this business. So Austin's got pretty good engineering talent. Mm-hmm. So putting a hub there for engineering folks. If, you know, Phoenix used to be pretty popular for sales teams or building up a sales hub, you know, we'll see how that evolves over time. But it's more about finding the center of the spoke with where the talent is. Yeah. And, you know, planting the flag of this is our meeting space. This is our, you know, this is our, the scope coffee shop, or this is the scope place to go and have those team meetings.
And as you know, commercial real estate has taken a dip in San Francisco recently. So you'll probably get a pretty good deal.
And that's what we did. So we actually signed a lease and we started going into the office January 1st.
Wow.
And we've got a really cool booking system, a really, one of our head of product, Andrew Kim, actually built over the weekend, just like a fun little side project. He built the Scope Booker app. And so all the employees can go in and they can book times to be in the office, just so we don't have too many people in there. Once, obviously, we're very conscious of COVID and that there is a global pandemic going on. But we, you know, we're pretty strict and we, you know, we monitor that stuff very closely. So I still think there is a bit of hesitation, but I think we can relieve those hesitations by minimizing the risk of folks potentially getting COVID. And so that's, you know, those are the precautions that we're taking to make sure that, you know, the office is safe. It's a safe place to be. Temperature checks, you know, when you're not at your desk, mask on. We do, you know, every desk has hand sanitizer on it. When you walk in the door, you got to sanitize your hands. We'll temperature check you. And if anybody's been, you know, outside of their core bubble, you know, they know it's the honor system to make sure not to come in. Or if you do want to come in, let's get you a rapid test. Like, we'd love to do that stuff. But I think it goes back to, and this is the funny thing, is we had to build the Booker app because so many people wanted to be back in the office. And so that, I think that kind of tells you a little bit about how people are feeling with work from home full time.
No, I would agree with you on that. I think people, I actually think people need that social interaction. Mm-hmm. I think it will be a hybrid model. And I think what you're talking about is, that's actually a really cool idea. The sign up app, I think it's going to be more of a work area and you're not going to have an assigned desk unless you're the CEO or something, right?
And people, I'm the one that should not have a desk, actually. If I'm doing my job, I'm not at the desk. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly
right. But yeah, I think people are just going to say, hey, you know, they're going to do their work. Normally it's like, hey, this is something we really should get together. Let's go, you know, let's go grab this conference room and we'll meet at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Right.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. So you don't have to have as big a workspace, but you still have to have a workspace. And I think that's the way it's going to go. I think a lot of these companies that have built these huge corporate buildings, I think those are going to become more like WeWork buildings that are just,
yeah.
Right. And you're going to,
yeah. And absolutely. And I think there's, you know, I think what we've realized with like work from home is it's a great way to not be distracted at work by work things. But the problem is when you work from home, you get distracted by home things. Mm-hmm. And so you do kind of want that separation. And there's also just a lot of psychological things that go on with, you know, separating where you sleep, and where you eat and where you're with your family and with where you do work. Right. I think that's a really big important piece. Like I find myself, I'll go into the office on Saturday and Sunday to do things just to make sure that I'm kind of like separating home and work. I don't really necessarily believe in like work-life balance. I think if you're doing what you love, it doesn't really feel like work. I forget who said it, but
it's a famous saying.
Yeah, it's definitely a very it's a very true statement, I believe.
Yeah, it's funny because before COVID, I've worked from home for years, and I would almost religiously, almost every day, I would go to the gym at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I obviously haven't done that in 11 months. And I mean, I really miss it because it was that thing that just like, okay, I'm getting out of the house now. And I have friends there and that will be my social leader. I mean, although I was on Zoom for a good part of the day before COVID too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So where do you see Scope going in the future? I mean, you're really a new company that's really starting to grow already. Where do you think this ends?
Yeah. So let me think. So to date, we've raised about $3.5 million. So we just announced our most recent fundraise last Tuesday. So we've got, you know, plenty of capital to keep on, you know, iterating on the product and continuing to find the most efficient paths to partnering with vendors. And so, you know, if we just keep heads down and listen to what vendors are asking for, you know, listen to what customers are asking for. And again, all our job at Scope is to really match customers with the right expert. And that's all we're doing at the end of the day. And so, you know, where I see us in about a year is, you know, we've definitely grown top line. We've definitely grown the vendor partnerships, but I think what stands the same is just that laser focus on, you know, making sure that our product is, and that we're clear as to what our product is for and what it does. Mm-hmm. And so our goal again is to partner with software vendors to make sure that their customers are matched with the right experts. And that's all we have to do. It's really simple. Everything we do is just, it's just around that. And then we'll just add bodies and more bodies to be able to, you know, help fulfill and kind of hold up that kind of baseline truth that we've built. Yeah. And so, I mean, where this business goes, like I very easily see this as a public business, you know, no plans obviously in the next year or two to do any of that. But, you know, the way that our business is set up, and at the way that we're growing, we started with like 15 experts about 6 months ago. Now we're well over 100 experts. Gives you a bit of an idea of like how demand has been, because we don't really publicly talk about that stuff on the demand side. But you know, it's a business that has a lot of the interesting characteristics of taking a new approach to an old idea that historically has done very, very well in the public markets. And it's something that, you know, I believe that it has the legs to do so.
Well, yeah, I mean, the basic algorithm can be applied to many different disciplines, right?
So, yeah.
So you're going to have some interesting challenges ahead, but good challenges. Those are the good kind of challenges ahead. Yep. Do you want to do this or do we want to do this as opposed to how do we pay the rent?
Exactly right.
Well, Xander, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. It sounds like you got a great idea there. And I wish you a great 2021. And you never know. I might be jumping on or I might offer my services to you.
We'd love to have you on the Scope platform.
Sounds good. Well, we'll talk about that offline.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.